My name is Juwanza. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is going to be a very exciting show. I am so very pleased to have another opportunity to come before you again and to start this year's book review off with an awesome, awesome author. Oh, my goodness. You all are really in for a treat today. Okay, I guarantee you that you will not regret taking the time that you've taken to tune into today's show. My special guest is actually someone who's been on Juwanza for Life before, and once we get into the interview, we'll tell you about the other interviews that she's done, and I know that you're going to want to go back and listen to those interviews as well. But again, today, my special guest is an author, and we're going to be talking about conquering it all. My special guest is Donna Stallings. She's author of a brand new book. It's called I Can Conquer It, and it's daily affirmations for conquering life's issues. It is so important when dealing in life that you realize that things are going to come up, and there are going to be things that you have to deal with. And in dealing with them, there's a certain mindset that you have to have when dealing with them. And we're going to get into all of that. But let me tell you a little bit about my special guest today. Donna Stallings serves as a grant programs officer for the Virginia Housing Development Authority, also known as VHDA. And in her role at VHDA, she's responsible for providing technical assistance and managing grants for their agency partners and grantees. Prior to joining VHDA, Ms. Stallings was the housing program manager for Southside Community Development and Housing Corporation, also known as SCDHC. And in her role at SCDHC, she was responsible for the administration of the housing program, as well as facilitating financial literacy and home buyer education classes, providing one-on-one credit and budget counseling as well, and pre- and post-purchase home ownership counseling. She also administered the Virginia Individual Development Account, also known as VIDA, or VIDA, depending on how you want to pronounce that, a match savings program for the Department of Housing and Community Development. And prior to joining SCDHC, Ms. Stallings was a housing counselor for Virginia Supportive Housing, the director of the Asset Development Center for New Visions, New Ventures, a case manager as well for Home Again, and a program specialist for Rutherford Benefit Services. Additionally, she has 15 years' experience in the insurance industry, where she assisted with all aspects of life, health, and disability insurance. Ms. Stallings has a BS, or bachelor's degree, in business administration from Virginia Commonwealth University, also known as VCU. She is also a comprehensive certified housing counselor through the Virginia Association of Housing Counselors and a certified home ownership program manager and housing counselor and foreclosure intervention counselor through NeighborWorks of America, and she's a certified housing counseling program manager through the National Council of La Raza. Ms. Stallings recently published a book of affirmations titled I Can Conquer It All, which we'll be discussing today. She's also the owner and creator of I Am More Than a Conqueror, LLC. Wow, that's a lot squeezed into that bio. It's clear. First, let me welcome you to the show, Donna. Great to have you back. I know this is going to be a powerful interview. Having interviewed you before, I know that the listeners are in for the treat. So first, let me thank you for being my guest today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to talk to you and anybody else that has questions. So I'm just anticipating what it's going to be like, but I think you're going to have a good discussion, so I'm ready.
So as well. Awesome. Wow, just looking at your bio, there's a lot of information. You've done a lot in the housing sector. What led you to the writing of a book of affirmations? You know, I'm clear and aware that people can wear more than one hat, you know, at the same time. But what led you to the writing of this book? It's awesome.
Well, as you mentioned, in my prior work history, I was in corporate America in the insurance industry back in the 90s. And in 2000, I decided that I didn't want to do that anymore. It just wasn't fulfilling me. And I found myself complaining a lot about being unhappy, and I was complaining to anybody that would listen, and God just told me, as easy as it is for you to complain to others, it's just as easy to give a positive word, because I realized as I was complaining to others, I was putting that negativity onto them. So I started sending positive words to my friends and family, and then it spread to coworkers. And then they started sharing them with people, and then the people that they started sharing them with would contact me and ask me to add them to the list, and it just grew and grew. And so the last that I heard, that they're just being spread worldwide because people send them to families in the military and overseas, and so it's just spread over the years, and people were pressuring me into writing the book because they said everybody doesn't get on the computer every day, and so they would like to have something in their hands that they could look at every day and help to feed their spirit that way. So after many, many years of working on it, I finally was able to publish it in December.
Wow. Well, how was that received in the beginning? Because the same people that were used to hearing you complain, all of a sudden now are getting these words of positivity.
How did they feel about that? Well, the thing about it, the people that I was complaining to were my friends and people that knew me, so they knew my heart. They just knew that I was frustrated. So I think they welcomed a better outlook on life, you know, from me, and was happy to see that I was no longer in that negative place.
Wow.
And people have been very supportive of them through the years, even now with the book.
I can imagine going, when you care about somebody and you see them in a dark place, you know, down in the dumps and, you know, just feeling the blues, and then all of a sudden you start to hear them and feel their spirit, and you can feel their energy, that they're doing better, you know, they're feeling better, and it's exuding, and, you know, they're sharing words of positivity. That really had to just really uplift them, even as you were being uplifted as well. Let's talk about your title for a moment. I Can Conquer It: Daily Affirmations for Conquering Life's Issues. You know, when I read the title, I focused on the it part of I Can Conquer It, because everybody has a different it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, you know, it could be their it could be, you know, they're in a bad situation at work, or it could be in a bad relationship, or they might be dealing with a health condition, or, you know, everybody has their different, you know, their own it. And even as I was looking and reading the affirmations in the book, they're just, again, very, very positive. And Could you talk about the it for a moment? Because, again, these affirmations are going to help people get through a lot of different various its in their life, you know. And just for the record, I just want to just make it clear that, you know, a lot of the listeners to this show, they come from a lot of different backgrounds, you know, and different spiritual backgrounds. Some are Christian, some are Muslim, some are, you know, Buddhist, some are, you know, maybe atheists. I don't know, you know, but, you know, there are a lot of different people that listen to this show. And so even though this book is written from a biblical standpoint, the principles, I think, extend beyond religion, and regardless of whatever your, you know, professed religion is, you can benefit from this book. But can we talk about the its for a minute? Because everybody has their, you know, their different it. So
sure.
When writing the book, I don't know if how much, you know, when it came to determining the various issues, because, again, for conquering life's issues, and life's issues vary,
right.
You know, so it people can benefit regardless of what their it is, correct? I mean, it doesn't matter whether
right.
they're in a bad relationship or on a bad job or dealing with a health condition. Just speaking positively and affirming positive thoughts can be beneficial. Is that correct?
That is correct. And as you said, it doesn't really matter what religion you are, because it's really not about religion. It's about relationships. So whoever it is that you serve, or whatever it is that makes you breathe life into this world, that's what you want to, you know, tune into. So
mm-hmm.
for me, the positive words, it's going to meet whatever needs someone has. So the way, you know, it started, I've used the word affirmation because I wanted to affirm myself, but also affirm others, because so many people, they do not get positive words or compliments from people. You know, a lot of people grew up in a household that was dysfunctional, and they might not have had anyone tell them that they loved them, or they might not have known or seen what positive relationships were. So for me, part of the purpose for writing the affirmations was to spread a positive experience, you know, to people. And affirmations, or affirming, means speaking something, believing something. So if you're believing something, then hopefully it's going to eventually come to pass. So mm-hmm. if you're, you know, speaking things that are positive, if you are believing in things that are positive, eventually you're going to start doing things that are positive,
mm-hmm.
and then that spreads, you know, from people to people. And a funny thing about the book and the affirmations, it was never my intention to write a book. I was just
mm-hmm.
sending out the affirmations to, like I said, spread a positive word to people I knew. But as they grew, and as people were passing them on, other people are the ones that encouraged me to do it, and I still fought mm-hmm. it, because I'm like, that's not what I'm doing it for. You know, I'm not doing it for that. And then people would come to me and say, well, you know, I'm now getting them forwarded to me from somebody else, and they're not putting your name on it. So if you don't
mm-hmm.
publish them, somebody else might. So
mm-hmm.
that
point.
Made me think about it, you know, a little bit more. But it was never really my intention to do that, but I have been just overwhelmed by the response and the support from people who have, you know, purchased the book from me and have been, you know, buying them for other people to bless them with it. And that's what it's all about, to be a blessing to somebody else. And like I said, it's just something to feed your spirit, no matter what your beliefs are, because you can't go wrong if you're being positive. And all of us, like you said, have issues, different issues. Probably everybody at some point, and someone in their family has dealt with health issues, addiction issues, marital issues, all different types of things. And if you are dealing with life's issues without any kind of belief system, I don't know how you can do it. You know, I've had my own share of experiences. I was married and divorced, and getting through that, I need it, you know, to feed my spirit with something positive. And even on jobs that I did enjoy, a lot of times they were stressful. And so you have to have some kind of outlet in order to make it in life, because if you don't, you're going to get overwhelmed, or you might get depressed depending on what your situation is. And, you know, with the alarming rate of suicide that we're dealing with now, if there's any way that I can do something to help someone to have hope, then that's what my, you know, intention is, to let people know that it might be hard right now, but it'll get better, that there is, you know, a bright side somewhere, you know, that they don't have to give up, that they just keep encouraging themselves and surrounding themselves with positive people, because that's the other piece too. You can't take in a whole bunch of negativity without it eventually dumping on you. So I have learned, you know, over the years to surround myself with positive people as well.
You know, that's very, very important. That you said, well, everything you said so far is very important. But, you know, something that stood out to me was that you mentioned that you got to know that you'll get through this, whatever the situation is. And I think that when people don't understand and whatever they may be going through, that this is just a moment in time. You know, it's just a moment in time, and if you can look back at other situations that you thought you never might make it through, and you did, then whatever might be confronting you now is just, you know, just a situation, a moment in time, and, you know, as the saying goes, this too shall pass, you know. And as I'm looking at you, as I'm speaking to you, I'm looking at the cover of your book, and I love it. I love the cover. I mean, you are standing there with your arms outstretched and this beautiful smile, and it's just like so triumphant, you know, that triumphant, like, I did it, you know.
Yeah.
I like you've reached the top, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't feel like they can ever get to that place when they're in the midst of going through whatever it is. You know, somebody may have just come from the doctor and got a bad report, or whether it's about them or, you know, somebody that they know, or they may have just got fired, or, you know, whatever the case may be. But if we can keep in mind that situations are a moment in time, and that, you know, one day you'll be looking back on this day, this month, this year, you know, and how you, you know, the frame of mind with which you deal with whatever the condition is now can determine even how long you stay in it.
Right.
You can prolong the agony, you know, or you can shorten it just based on how you interpret what's happening, correct?
And that's so important that you said that, because I remember many years ago when I was working in homeless services, and that's a hard field, you know, to work in. It's very rewarding, yes, but it's very hard because you see a lot of sadness when you're dealing with people who, you know, don't have a home. And, you know, dealing with that and then other personal issues. I remember one day that I just, you know, I woke up and I was just feeling so down, and I didn't even want to go to work. And I called my supervisor and I said, you know, I don't think I'm coming in today. I'm having a blue day, you know. And she's like, nope. She said, you need to come in. She said, because if you stay there, you're just going to lay there and wallow in it. She said, you need to get up, put one foot in front of the other, and if you can do that, you can keep moving. And that's the way I have lived my life ever since then. You know, I have down days. I have days where things are stressing me out, or I might be, you know, sad because I've lost a loved one or whatever. But I have to remind myself, just get up, put one foot in front of the other, take it one day at a time, you know. And then there are times, too, where you're gonna feel that way. Feel the emotion, let it work its way out, and then keep going. And I find that as we keep moving, as we keep doing, it does pass. And that's what we do have to remember, that a lot of this stuff is not here to stay. It's just for the moment. And so when we give up, we never allow ourselves to get to the other side of it. And the things that have happened to me, you know, in my life, as I look on the cover, that is my story. I have conquered things. You know, like I said, I went through a divorce, and after that divorce, I had to rebuild everything, you know. And had to, and I also got laid off at the time that I was going through my divorce, so it was a very tough time. But I made it through that. You know, I repaired my financial situation. And if I tell people all the time, when I was teaching the credit classes and the financial classes, you can be in a bad place and recover, but you've got to put the work in to do it. It doesn't just happen. I mean, most of the time we're looking for a quick fix, and it doesn't normally happen that way. I know I went 5 years without cable, you know. I followed a budget then. I follow a budget now, you know, so I know where my money is going. Now, do I always do everything that I should do? No. I mean, I'm human just like everyone else, and I spoiled and want to do and have what I want to have sometimes. But if I see myself getting out there too far, I'm going to reel myself back in, because I know where I've been. I don't want to go back there. So I keep looking to that mountaintop that you referenced on the front of the book, that I want to stay up on the mountain. And in order to do that, then there are certain things that you have to do in your managing your money, in your spiritual life, in your work ethic. All of those things will help you to achieve the goals that you want to achieve in life. And so you can have some circumstances in life that happen, but you don't have to stay in that. You can come out, you can conquer it, and you can be victorious. You just have to believe that.
Let's talk about faith and works for a moment, you know, because you touched on it. I think a lot of people, when it comes to, you know, faith, even in the Bible it talks about faith without works is dead, you know. And like you said, you wish you could wave a magic wand over your life and just, you know, make everything okay. But if we think about God for a moment and think about the fact that we would all agree that we aren't where we will ultimately end up, that we're growing, that it's a process of spiritual development and growth, but along the way, we have to be tested, you know. So if a situation comes to us, everything's not the devil. You know, a lot of times people want to blame the devil for this.
Yes.
You know, this thing happened to me, this is the devil. You know, the devil's attacking me, or, you know, everything's not the devil.
Yes.
You know.
You're right. You're
situations.
Sometimes things happen to us to teach us a lesson or to help us to grow. And because of the things that we go through, and it's funny that you mentioned the scripture on faith without works being dead, because that was the actual sermon that was preached on the Sunday that I joined the church that I'm a member of now, and that was 30 years ago. But it's so true. You can say a whole lot of words, but if you don't put any action behind it, it means nothing. So if you want to get a job, you can't sit on the couch expecting the job to come to you. You got to get out there and get your resume together. Maybe you have to start over and get some experience before you get that dream job. But there are steps that you have to take to get to where you want, and it takes faith to do that, because it's not always going to be easy. Usually it isn't. And so you have to continue to remind yourself when you have those tough days, or when it doesn't seem like anything is happening, you have to remind yourself of what God brought you through before. That helps me a lot. That's why even with financial situations, when I get frustrated, I have to remind myself of what God has done for me in the past. And if he did it before, he'll do it again. And and it just amazes me sometimes when, you know, I'll get all worked up over something, and then God works it out. And I'm like, so why did I get upset? I knew he was going to work it out. He always provides for me, so why would it be any different this time? But, our flesh sometimes gets a hold of us, and we have to reel it back in. But, yeah, I think it's important to know that, yeah, the enemy is out there, and he's real, but he doesn't have more power than God. He really doesn't. And that's why we have to believe in that greater power, and that's that power in us that he's given us to be able to do the things that we need to do. And that's the book says I can conquer it, but it comes from the scripture in Romans 8, where it talks about we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So, yeah, we're conquerors, but we still need him. But if we have him, we can do anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, but I think when it comes to the works part, people, it's like nobody, a lot of people, when they just hear the word work,
they don't want to do it. It sounds too hard, doesn't it? Work sounds hard.
You only want to hear the word work, much less do the work. Just the sound of the word work, you know, makes somebody,
yeah,
you know, go a different direction, you know. But if you look at successful people, you know, when you look at the people that we, you know, that have the millionaires and the billionaires, I mean, not, you know, discounting the ones that were born with a silver spoon in their mouth. I mean, somebody in their family did the work, right? Somebody did the work, you know. We look at successful people and living the life of ease and, you know, living in the lap of luxury and think, wow, one day, you know, I wish that could be me. And, you know, you dream about what it would be like to not have any bills and, you know, that sort of thing. And you can get to that point because other people have. And if somebody else can do it, if it's possible for it to be done, then you can do it too, but you gotta work towards it, you know. And then if you put in the work now so that one day you can, or your children or your grandchildren can live a life of luxury, you know, there's nothing wrong with work. I mean, and there are a lot of times that people feel good about the fact that they put in the work and they built something. They can look at something that they accomplished, whether it's a business that they started and, you know, worked it, and now they can sit back and, you know, relax and be like, wow, I did this. There's a rewarding feeling that comes along with working for something that you don't have when you didn't work for it. You know,
exactly.
When you didn't work for it, you don't get that feeling, that same rewarding feeling of after having put in the work, now you can look back and say, wow, you know, it wasn't easy, you know, but I did it. I conquered
it,
you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important, too, that we can teach that to our children. When I used to, you know, deal with budgeting with clients that I was counseling, I would tell them, include your children in this decision. You know, children are smarter than we give them credit for. And a lot of times, if, you know, they all want these expensive toys or things, but I would suggest to them, you know, let them pay some towards it. I guarantee you they'll take better care of it because it's easy to spend mom and daddy's money, you know, and you don't care about it. But when it comes to spending your own money, you're going to take care of that. And the kids will be more responsible with it because they'll take pride in knowing that they helped work for that. And that's the same way that we do. You know, I know where I came from, you know, financially, and so that's why I can really appreciate my house because I know what it took to get it. Nothing was handed to me. I had to work to get it. And so that helps me to take care of it, you know, to do what I need to do to keep it. And a lot of times when things come too easy to people, it's so easy to lose it, to walk away from it. And the home buyer process is really important with that. A lot of times you have agencies that will give down payment assistance. The place I used to work would do that too. But one of the requirements was that the home buyer had to put some of their own money into the deal too, because what they found in different studies is that if there was no buy-in from the person, it was much easier for them to foreclose on that home because they didn't have any skin in the game, you know. And the same thing goes with our life and the things that we want out of life. We have to be willing to give of ourselves to get the things that we want, whatever that may be. It could be a job. It could be a relationship. It could be a ministry. It could be whatever it is that you want to achieve. You're going to have to pour something into that. You're going to have to give something in it. You talk to people who've been married 50, 60 years. It didn't just happen. They didn't just wake up one day and say, oh, I love you, you love me, let's get married and we'll be happily ever after. No, they had to work. And they will tell you, anybody that's been married a long time, that it is work. But when you make a commitment that you're going to, you know, do this and you take that risk to step out there and do it, then it's worth it because when you've been married all those years, then you see, wow, look at what I have. And these days, you know, it's almost unheard of for people to be married that long. But it is definitely a blessing when you can look back and say that. And the same thing with jobs. I don't know too many people who have been on a job now, you know, for 20, 30 years. It doesn't happen that way anymore. You know, people, companies downsize, they contract out work, and so you don't hear as often as you used to someone staying on the same job for 30 years. But if you are fortunate enough to be in that, you look where you started and see where you are now, it will amaze you. And even though I've had different jobs.
It didn't happen overnight.
No, it doesn't. You don't get promoted overnight, and you don't get more money overnight. All those things are processed, just like anything else. And that's why I wanted to give people some kind of hope that whatever it is that they're dealing with, they can overcome it. They can overcome it.
Well, if we could talk about patience even for a moment, because it's going to be very, very important when you, I mean, because even as you affirm the affirmations in the book, you still have to have patience with life because, you know, things like we just talked about, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. You know, you might to put in the work to, you know, you might have to, you mentioned earlier, you mentioned you might have to get some more education. You know, you might have to do some things that may require you to, you know, have patience. You know, let's say, for example, just to use the housing analogy for a moment, let's say you have to get your credit straight in order to,
right,
you know, get a new house or to pay off some debt, you know, mm-hmm. then that's not going to happen overnight. Could you talk about patience?
Sure. And I had a friend who told me once, don't pray for patience because then you're going to get trials and tribulations. And that, it's so true. But you do need patience in order to deal with anything that you need to overcome or achieve in life. And for me personally, it took me 5 years to repair my credit so that I could be in a position to buy a house. And I had to make sacrifices through those 5 years. Like I said, I went without cable. I had two different roommates. Did I want a roommate? No. But did I need a roommate? Yes. So sometimes there are things that we have to do in order to get the things that we want. So I remember putting a picture of a house on my refrigerator or something that I would see every day, and that would help me to stay focused on what I needed to do while I was waiting, because the wait can get hard, especially if you see, you know, everybody else getting what you want, or you're tired of being wherever it is that you are. It can get hard to wait, but if you can stick it out, it's going to be worth it. Because, like I said, the old saying, anything worth having is worth waiting for. A lot of things that come too quick, they fade quick, too. So could you put the time into something, you value it. Because you know what it took to get it.
You know, let's take another one of the, I'll call it a principle, for lack of a better term. You have purpose. Can we talk about that? A lot of people are searching, even in life, for their purpose. You know, you talk to some people and it's like, well, I don't know what my purpose is. And if you talk to a young person, let's say, when I say young, I'm talking about somebody maybe just coming out of high school or whatever. They're just even trying to figure out what they're going to do with their career, much less what their purpose is, you know. But at some point along the way, as you start to mature a bit, you start to wonder, what is my purpose here? You know, is there something that I'm supposed to be adding to humanity? You know, what's my purpose?
Right, exactly.
Can you talk about that?
Well, you know, and it's that too takes time and patience, because you may not always hear right away what your purpose is. You know, I can remember when we were kids, we used to play, you know, school, and I was always a teacher, but I didn't want to be a teacher, you know, as far as in the classroom. And even in high school, I was taking psychology courses and things like that, and that's really what I really wanted to go into. But then when I did go to college, I realized if I get a psych degree, I'm going to have to go and get a master's and a PhD, and because I was paying for school, I couldn't afford to do that, and I didn't want to do that. So my father was like, well, go into business, so at least you can get a job. And that's what I did, but it wasn't fulfilling because my purpose was to help people. And I worked in the insurance industry for 15 years, and yes, it paid the bills and provided for a comfortable life, but it didn't bring me joy because I didn't see it necessarily helping anyone. So when I switched careers at 38 and went into working in nonprofits I started out with homeless services, and then I worked with a women's business center and helping them to save money for different goals that they were doing, and then I got into the housing industry, and that's where my interest is. That's where my passion is, in helping, you know, first-time home buyers buy a house. There's nothing like that, you know, or helping a homeless person find housing, helping someone get a job. That's what feeds me, and that's what the affirmations are about. They're helping people to overcome whatever it is that they're dealing with. Now, does everybody take the information that I give them to heart? No, but that's their choice. But those that choose to, they can reach their goals. And, you know, what they say about birds of a feather flock together, you know, I said you hang around positive people, and I knew the things that I wanted out of life, and everybody that's in my circle of friends, we're all homeowners, you know. Mm. We're all Christians. We're all, you know, trying to be good people and live out our purpose, whatever that might be. Some people might be good with their hands and fixing things, and good with cars, or some people are good with listening to people's problems. Some people are not. Some people are creative with decorating, with marketing ideas, like even with the book and my photo shoot and all that. That's, someone had to tell me what to do when it came to that, because that's not my passion. That's not my purpose. I have no idea how to pose, you know, the right lighting and all of that. And honestly, I don't really care about that. That's not what I'm supposed to do. That's somebody else's creativity. And even the title of the book, I had help with that, because I was going to just name it Daily Affirmations. And the young lady that was helping me with my photo shoot and my branding, she was like, you need to do something that's going to call people to action. You know, she says, Daily Affirmation, that's just flat. You know, that doesn't tell me what I need to do. And she's like, okay, you're saying that the daily affirmations are going to help people conquer their life issues. She said, so then just tell them conquer it. I was like, huh. So, you know, that's how that came into. And then, you know, I said, well, let's make it even more personal and say I can conquer it. Mm-hmm. And the graphic designer that helped me do my website and to do the book cover and all that, he helped with that as well, you know, doing the personal I can conquer it, because he said every time someone types in your website, that's a positive thing for them, that they're saying I can conquer it. And that is, you know, also something that I do with my passwords. Like if I have to log in at work or at home on a computer, I always use some kind of affirmation as my password. So, you know, initially when I started doing it, it was blessed one. Well, you know, you got to change it every 90 days, so I have to come up with a different one. You know, so I'll try to do different things that will affirm me, because every time I'm typing in the password, you know, I'm thinking it in my head, I'm typing it with my fingers. Sometimes I say it out loud. So it could be grateful one, or I'm a healed one, or I'm a conquered one. Or I think the other day I changed it to I'm a prosperous one. You know, whatever you want it to be in your life, speak it. Because our words matter. Those words affirm what we're trying to do, what we're trying to be. So that's why you have to speak positive things, not only over yourself, but over other people. You watch some of the stuff on TV, and some of it's so awful, but like talk shows and things like that, they seem to feed off of gossip, and that's negative, you know, and they're speaking negative things over people. And I remember one of the guy, he was homeless, and they found him. He had a velvety voice. I can't remember what his name was, but he got a job on one of the TV shows broadcasting. And one of the talk show people was like, oh, I give him 30 days before he's out on the street again. And I'm thinking, why would you speak that over someone? That's like the worst thing that you could do. Why not say, I'm so happy for him that he's, you know, recovered from that situation and he's working and able to use his gift of his voice to do something good. But the world we live in right now is, it's just in trouble. I really can't fathom how we got here, but
I know.
We need affirmations now more than ever.
I look at it, when I think about everything that's going on now, it's almost like, it's like the world is regurgitating. You know what I mean? It's like it's throwing up all of the sickness and the emotional, I mean, stuff that's going on. I mean, you hear more about racism, and, you know, you reading the newspaper, hearing on the news about, I mean, somebody said this racist thing, people doing stuff in, coming up in blackface
every
from years ago.
Something.
I mean, just all
I'm
crazy.
Like, where's all this coming from? It's just too much. So, yeah, as we're taking in that stuff, we've got to take in something else to counter it, or else we'll be in a very bad space. So,
now, could you talk about facing your fears for a moment? You know, because again, I saw that in your book as well. I'm sorry, did I cut you off? I didn't mean
cut off. You're good. Facing your fears.
A lot of people have them.
Oh gosh, yes. Everybody has something that they fear, and, you know, it can keep you in bondage, you know, and it's not easy conquering fears. But one of the things that I've always heard is that they say it's okay to be afraid, but just do it afraid. Still attempt to do it. You can be afraid, but still try to do it. And if you do it and you achieve it, just think how great you feel that you actually did it. So now you don't have to be afraid anymore. You already conquered it. Now, it might take steps depending on what that fear is. But most people, they're afraid to take risk. Whatever it is they're trying to get in life or do in life, they're afraid of failure. They're afraid of, well, what if I step out there and it doesn't work out the way that I want it to work? Okay, so try it again or try something else. It's not the end of the world. You know, a lot of people that are millionaires fail the first time, maybe even multiple times. You hear a lot of business owners say that. They had several businesses fail before they got the successful one. So it's okay to be afraid. We all have fears. But the thing to do is to at least try to move beyond it, see what you can accomplish. And there's more than one way to do something. So if one way doesn't work, try another and keep trying and keep trying. Because each time that you try, you get closer and closer to conquering it.
Donna, can we talk about pride for a moment? Because, you know, a lot of people let pride is a hindrance for a lot of people as well. A lot of times people don't want to admit, I don't know, or, you know, don't want to ask for help when they need it, you know, simply because of pride. I don't want somebody else to know that I'm not, you know, doing as well as I may have put out, you know, there that I'm doing well. I may have, you know, given this persona that I've got it all together, but really I don't, you know. And people are very prideful, and when it comes to, you know, even asking for help or even admitting that I don't know, you know, somebody asks you a question, you tell them something because you don't want to say, you know, I really don't know the answer to that, you know. Right. Could you talk about even just overcoming our own pride, because sometimes your pride can stand in your way from receiving a blessing?
Sure. Well, a lot of times pride is also tied to self-esteem or self-confidence. Mm. If we're not confident in ourselves, if we have a low self-esteem, then we're that much more heightened and aware of what other people think. And so we try to do things to impress them and to please other people. But when you're happy in yourself, when you're confident in yourself, then you won't have a problem saying, I don't know. And I'll give you an example for in workplace. You know, you have so many people that are competitive, or they're, you know, they steal other people's ideas and things like that. And I don't have any place for that. I don't have any time for that, because I feel like if I can get to a certain place, then I want to bring everybody else with me. We don't have to compete against each other. We work together. So if I'm doing something and it didn't work out, or I said, I'll be the first one to say, oh, I'm sorry, I told you wrong. It should have been this. Or, no, that's not what I meant, or I shouldn't have done it that way. Or if somebody else does something, I give them the credit for it. There's room for all of us, and that's what people have to realize. You don't have to drag somebody else down to lift yourself up. No, you lift yourself up and then pull them up with you. When you're confident in yourself, when you know who you are, when you know whose you are, you don't have to press somebody else down. You will want to lift them up. And that's what we all have to learn to get to within ourselves. And that takes time, too, because I'm not the same person now that I was at 20, 30, right, or even 40, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm at a good place now, but it took many years of getting there. And if I could encourage people with anything tonight, it would be to speak and do positive and good things for people, because that's what encourages the confidence in them. You know, so many people have low self-esteem because as kids they were picked on, or they were teased, or they weren't told that they, you know, were loved or shown love by their parents. And it wasn't because their parents didn't love them. Maybe they didn't know how. If their parents didn't say that they loved them, then they don't know how to tell you that they love you. And that was something that was really hard for me growing up, because my father used to always tell us, well, I show you I love you by going to work every day and putting food on the table. And that's true, but as a child, you don't understand the importance of that. Now that I'm grown, I'm like, good Lord, how in the world did they provide for five children, you know? But that was their way in that day and time of expressing love, by showing what they do. You know, some people can say I love you very easy, and they say it all the time. Other people show you that they love you. So it's different, but I would encourage anyone, if you can, tell people how great they are. Tell people that they're lovable, that you love them, that they're smart, that they're good, all of those things, because as you feed that into kids, if you feed that into people, then they will start to believe it themselves, and they won't have that need to be prideful. They won't have that need to, you know, pull somebody else down to make them feel better, because they'll already feel good.
You know, that reminds me of a situation in my own personal life that I'll relate. I had a friend of mine, and this was a few years ago, and when I would visit him, he had a niece, I think she was his niece, that lived in the house with them, and I would always fuss over her report card, right? I would always, she was about 15 or whatever, and I would always say, let me see your report card, and, you know, I'd make a big deal about the report card, you know, oh, you know, I think you can bring that C up, or, you know, and if mm-hmm. she brought it up, and then she would start showing it to me, you know what I mean, and mm-hmm. if she brought it up, you know, and I would always make a great big deal about it, and her mother one day said to me, Jawanza, why you keep filling her head with all that positive stuff? You gonna mess around, and her nickname was Peanut. She said, you gonna mess around and make Peanut think that she's smart. And I couldn't believe that her mother said that, right?
Yeah.
And so I eventually lost contact with the family until one day I ran into the friend of mine whose niece it was, and the first thing he said when he said, I hadn't seen him in about 5 years, but the first thing he said when he saw me was, Jawanza, you need to call Peanut. I'm like, why? Is everything all right? She's like, look, just right here. Take this number down and call her. And so I said, okay. So I called her, and the first thing she said when she heard me, I said, is this Peanut? I said, this is Jawanza. She just screamed. She said, I did it. I did it. I graduated from high school. There was a school up in D.C. called the Washington School for Secretaries at the time. She's like, I went to the Washington School for Secretaries. I graduated from there. I did it. I'm so happy. This was four or 5 years later, you know.
Yeah.
But she remembered.
Exactly. That was positive encouragement you gave her. Right. Because she probably had never gotten it from anyone else.
Wow,
and
even her mom was wondering, why, you know, can you imagine somebody telling that though? You're going to make her think that she's smart as opposed to her telling her daughter
that
she's
smart. Right.
You know?
Right.
But there must obviously have been something, even you'd have to look at the mom and feel for her, because obviously there was something in her past that may have, that blockage that, you know, caused mm-hmm. her to feel that this parenting style was, you know, somehow, you know, gonna work in some kind of way. But I just related that to, you know, piggyback on what you were saying concerning, you know, how words are important, and, you know, just the impact of having somebody speak positive things into your life, that here, even all these many years later, you know, her uncle knew that she would want to share her accomplishments with me, even after all of these years later, you know. So, and that made me feel good. I was like, wow, I had no idea that it meant that much to the young child. You know, I had no idea that, you know, what her hearing, you know, hey, you're doing good, you know, you're intelligent, you know, yada, yada, yada. I had no idea what that was doing for her, you know.
Right.
So, you know, I just concur with what you just said, and encourage everybody to, share, tell people how wonderful they are, especially when they are at an age where they're vulnerable and
very
open,
impressionable.
To being,
yeah.
Or that's the word I was looking for. Very impressionable, you know, and can easily be, you know, can easily go the other way if you don't share positive things with them. Donna, can we talk about integrity? We got a few minutes left. That's a very important piece. Integrity, you know, when dealing in trying to change your life around, or even just living life, you have to have integrity. Can you talk about that?
Yes. It goes back to them saying your word is bond. So integrity is like, if I say something, or if I say I'm going to do something, whoever I'm saying that to should be able to trust that I'm going to be a person of my word, and that I'm going to have integrity and honor what I said I was going to do. And that does mean a lot, because if you can't trust someone, then there's no relationship there. And that's the same thing with God. We have to have integrity even in our relationship with God, because if we say something out of our mouth, but our actions don't back it up, then it really is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we're not being honest, then we don't have integrity. So if we want God to have a relationship with us, in order for a relationship to work, it has to have trust. It has to have integrity, because that's what makes it authentic. That's what makes it real. Anybody can have something superficial. I mean, we see superficial people all the time. But there's no substance to a relationship with a superficial person, because there's no integrity. There's no authenticity. So I think people do need to understand that their words have meaning. Like, I take stuff that people say to me literally. If you say, okay, I'm going to call you later, then later I'm expecting a call.
Yeah, me too.
If you didn't do it, then that meant you lied, you know. Mm-hmm. So if I tell somebody I'm going to do something, then they should expect that I'm going to do it. And then if you can't do it, then reach back out and tell them.
Right.
There's nothing worse, and I never understood this. If someone borrows money from you and they say, I'm going to pay you next Friday, but the next Friday comes and you don't see them. If you don't have the money, that's understandable, but call them and just let me know. Say something.
Mm-hmm.
Have integrity to be a person of your word. And if, you know, things happen in life, we know that. Things can change. But reach out, to, you know, don't be afraid to reach out to that person and say, hey, not able to do this. Or even if you hurt someone, you hurt someone's feelings by something you said or did, take the upper road and go to them and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong for doing that. I shouldn't have done that. Please forgive me for doing that. Whatever it is that you need to do, but own your stuff. That means you're a trustworthy person as well, because none of us are perfect. And so if we act like, that's why a lot of times people don't like to apologize, because they don't want to admit that they're wrong. But everybody makes mistakes. That's part of life.
And, you know, one of the things about apologies people do, and I've always, this has always been something that stood out to me, when people apologize in this way, they don't really own whatever it is they're claiming to be apologizing for, but they'll say something like, hey, listen, you know, if you feel like, you know, I violated you, or if you feel like I hurt you, or if you feel like, you know, I did this, I apologize. That's not
right.
an apology.
That's not owning it, because you're putting it on them. If you felt a certain way, instead of saying, I'm sorry I hurt you, then you're owning it.
Yeah.
You know? So, and you're right. People do that all the time. And when they do that, you just invalidated whatever you were saying to me, because you put the blame on me instead of owning that you did this to me, you know,
and if you don't own it or recognize it, you'll do it again.
Right.
You'll do it again.
And you're not really sorry. you're just sorry that I felt that way, but you're not owning that I felt that way because of something you did. So I need to apologize for doing that to you and make every effort not to do it again. That's where integrity comes in. When you care enough about somebody to make the wrong right and then to work to not do it again.
You know what? This interview could go on and on and on and on. This is good. I could talk to you forever. But let's tell the people how they can get your book, because I know after hearing this show, they're going to want to reach out to you and find out, how can I get this book of affirmations? Because if the conversation just about the book was good, I know the book is going to be awesome. So how can people get your book, Don?
Okay, they can purchase it on my website, which is icanconquerit.com. Or they can get it from my publisher's book, which is sweetreedpublishing.com, and it's also on Amazon.
Okay.
And I will be having some book signings coming up, but I don't have the dates yet. I know there will be one at my church in the summer. There will probably also be one in the spring. I've talked to someone here locally in Brewer's Cafe, and I'm going to do one there, but I don't have a date yet. It's been really crazy and busy for me since the holidays, so I don't anticipate it being before March, but I'm thinking sometime in March or April I'll be doing a book signing, and I'll be posting it on Facebook and all on social media.
Well, please let me know, and I'll make sure that I announce it as well. Before we go, I wanted to just ask you about I Am More Than a Conqueror, LLC. Is that up and running yet?
It is. It's the name of my business, basically, to funnel the book through that. But also, if someone wanted me to come and speak I would be doing that under the umbrella of that business. I have had a couple of people who bought the book. I have one young lady that bought books for a single women's group that she has, and she wants me to come and speak to that group.
Awesome.
And so it'll be, you know, different things like that, whatever, conferences or whatever. I'm open and available to speaking engagements as well, and book signings and all of that.
And so if they wanted to reach out to you for a speaking engagement, can they call you or email you again?
Yes, they can email me at iconconquerit@gmail.com.
Hmm.
And there's also
okay.
on the website, there's a tab on there where you can, it says to contact us or something like that. They can click on that and send an email through there as well.
Everybody, I want to encourage you. You've got to get this book. I mean, even as you're going through it, I mean, there's just so many different affirmations that you can grow from. I mean, we talked on, we just touched on some of them. We didn't touch on humility, you know, hearing God, victory, trusting God, you know, dealing with doubt, you know, God's help, thankfulness, forgiveness, I mean, encouragement, discipline. I mean, all of these are affirmations in this book, okay, and they're daily affirmations. And another good thing about the book is it's not a yearly, it's not like, it doesn't have the year, so the affirmation is going to stay the same this
right.
time next year when you go to, you know, February the 6th, the affirmation is going to be the same because it's not dated by year. So because again,
so it can,
you
can, you
know,
gift it. It can, the gift can keep on going. So you can read it over and over again, or you can buy one for someone else. You know, it's not timed. It's timeless. So you're exactly right.
Make sure that you have Donna come out and speak at your function, whatever it is, whether it's a women's group. Excuse me. A religious thing or whatever it is. And again, it doesn't have to be, regardless of whatever your religion is, the principles or the affirmations are going to benefit you. And again, Donna, I just want to congratulate you so much, my sister, on this awesome, awesome achievement. Again, I'm looking at it and I feel you. I'm looking at the cover and I feel that. I feel your triumph, you know. You did it. You know,
well,
you wrote the
you.
Book. I mean, of the different things that you, you know, may have had to overcome
oh,
to get
gosh,
to this
yes.
place.
It took me about 10 years to do it. So, yes, I can truly say I conquered just writing this book. So it was not an easy thing to do. So, yes, I do truly feel like I've conquered it. And I still have things to conquer, but I know I can do it, and I'm going to keep doing it. And I encourage everyone else to do the same.
You write really well, you know, and again, I want to encourage everybody, make sure that you get the book and get the book for other people. And you know what would be a great gift for young people, too, not just, you know, older people, but young people, too, you know, because mm-hmm. with so much going on in the world, with so much, I mean, just, you know, with the music that they may be listening to, with all the things that they need, like Donna said, something to combat that, you know, so, you know, get it. Make this a party. You got a book club? Make sure that you add this book to
yeah.
the book club. I want this to be the buzz. I want everybody to be talking about this book. So, you know, and matter of fact, the next time I get another copy, see, can I get it autographed? <You know?
laughs> Well, thank
and,
you.
Donna, we're waiting on the
I
next
really
one, too. You got any other books in mind?
Well, someone told me that I should do another one that says, I have conquered it, because when the picture that's on this book, I'm about 30 pounds lighter than that. So now I need to do another one saying I conquered it. But I have many other things that I'm working on to conquer. So who knows? We may do a workbook or something to actually make
okay.
people start doing something with whatever it is they're working on. So we've got our mind toying with a couple of
things. Well,
if
your arms are outstretched like that, and that's just what I can conquer it, I wonder what the picture is going to look like when I have conquered it.
That's right. Well, wait for it. It's coming.
Well, Donna, thank you so much. Again, my special guest, everybody, today is Donna M. Stallings, author of the fabulous book, I Can Conquer It, Daily Affirmations for Conquering Life's Issues. You know, life is full of issues, and we need every tool at our disposal to help us to maintain, to help us to keep from going insane, to help us to overcome, to conquer, to be victorious, to be triumphant, you know. And we need to feed our minds and our spirits with positive affirmations, positive thoughts, surround ourselves with people, you know, of like minds who are going in the same direction, you know, because oftentimes just a word can make your day, or if you're not careful, it can ruin your day. So, you know, make sure that you're using everything at your disposal. And I highly recommend this book. I don't recommend a lot of books, okay, but this one I definitely recommend. So make it a point to get it. Donna, one more time, how can they get it?
They can go to my website at www.icanconquerit.com or at Sweet Read Publishing, that's SWEETREAD Publishing.com, or on Amazon.com.
Thank you so much for taking the time to be my guest today. Any parting words for our listeners before we go?
Well, just wanted to thank you so much for this opportunity. And for those who are out there struggling, be encouraged. You can conquer it.
Everybody, that is, not going to say was, that is Donna M. Stallings. Be on the lookout for her because she's a rising star. And so you make sure that you tell everybody about this. If you're hearing this interview and you know somebody that needs to hear it, then, because there's a lot of positivity on this show today. So definitely you can share the link just by, you know, you can just click share and, you know, copy and paste it and, you know, share it with somebody. Don't try to go back and remember what she said. Let them hear her. You can just share the interview, and then they can hear all the positivity oozing from her, and then they will be able to get the book and share that as well. Everybody, I'm going to let you go, but I thank you so much for your time. I want you to listen to this song. It's called I'm Going All the Way, okay? Because if you're ready to go all the way and you're ready to conquer it all, this is another tool. Check out this song, everybody. I think you'll enjoy it. My name is Juwanza. Who am I? I'm the one who in giving receives more. Thank you so much for your time. Peace.
Woo!